So we're up to number 47 is Mechaven Eshmuaso. Mechaven Eshmuaso is an akuda of being Pashup Shah is to be precise or exact in your learning. So the what does that mean? So Tversus Shaul gives a little different pshat here. He says, we're still talking about your Rebbe teaching you. That's been the theme of the past few pieces here. So if your Rebbe is saying over a shir, giving you some sort of svara, sort of shtickle Torah, sort of hesber, and it seems to be a stira. What he says seems to have a stira from somewhere else. Doesn't seem right. You have a kasha on it. So try to miyashiv them. That's what mechavin means. You try to put them in line with each other. Meaning he said X, he said Y, and those two things together, you want to be able to miyashiv the two of them in order so that you understand what he's saying. So that mechavin, there we say, it's kind of like, when we say like, Baruch Shekivanta, you're mechavin to my pshat. So he's learning out to that. That you should take the Rebbe's pshat. So he said in shir last week, this pshat. He said in shir this week, a different pshat. You're saying, ah, it's shver, it's a stira. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The answer is no, you should go out of your way to mechavin, to match up what he said. And again, this goes back to our theme we spoke about yesterday and the day before, which is that you have to be machshav your Rebbe. You have to hope he's coming from somewhere when he says something. If he's still on the arts, then he'll leave this year. But as long as you feel he's a good Rebbe, and the Derech Klal, he knows what he's talking about, and his Yerush Shemayim, and care about learning, so then if he says two things that are astira, you should go out of your way to miyashiv them. He's trying to get something across to you. So that's the Tiferes Yisrael. Now, so the idea of mechavin in terms of precision, this idea of being precise in hearing your shir, and being precise in learning. I'm going to maybe take both of those for a second. Be precise in a shir. So, a Rebbe saying a shir, his job is to say things very carefully and clearly. As we've said, you know, we're dealing here with things of great importance. We spoke about the other day, when you're living on us, lassos, you know, like the muscle of the surgeon, to realize what we're speaking about is reality and has consequences. So, a good Rebbe, when he speaks, is being precise in how he says what he says. He's not just guy tossing out ideas, but he's trying to actually get very, very clear the point he's getting across. So that's Mechavin Shmuasa Mitzah the Rebbe. Mitzah the Talmud. You have to hear that shir clearly. I mean, that often there can be a miscommunication, some sort of gap between what was said and what was heard. It happens all the time. I mean, by Pliskim for sure. You know how many people misquote a psak they hear? Unfortunately, it's very common. And post-game, they have a lot of agus nefesh because of it, because people walk around in their name saying X, and I never said X. I said Y, but someone said I said X, and it gets out, and everyone says, Rabbi Yashe Paskin this way, Rav Chaim said this way, you know, and he didn't. He never said it. Because people are not careful to hear what they're saying. They have to hear it very clear. Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, when he would say a shir, at least to the public, I never heard his private kaburas, but I heard his public shirim. Rashiva is private kaburas, but his public shiurim, he would speak extremely slow and deliberate and repeat himself many, many times as he spoke. Why? Because he didn't want you to get what he said wrong. He wanted you to understand what he's saying and it should be precise and right. It was deliberate that way. And it was clear when he was speaking. He would say something, he would speak slowly, and he would repeat it again, slowly, because he didn't want you to make a mistake. You know, you find this just, Lahavdil, I'll just tell you a cute story. You know, as you guys know, I've been talking to Dr. Heller a lot. You know, he and I have become very, very close friends over the course of the past few months. You know, so he told me that he was walking around Silver Spring a few weeks ago, and a Baal Bus came to him and said, "Dr. Heller, I can't believe you said X." And he said, "I never said that." So he walks down another block. Another Baal Bus comes, "Dr. Heller, I can't believe you said Y." He's like, "Come here." He takes this guy to other guy and says, "Say what you heard me say." And one guy says X, one guy says Sestir, Ramavish. You know? And he brought the two guys together. Okay, repeat what you heard in my name. And, you know, he said clear what he actually paskin. So I said to him, you know, you're like a postik now. That's the same thing the postkim, you know, like Mutter, Usser, Akasha, Treif, you know, it happens all the time at the postkim as well. So he said, Mamish happened to him on the street, one block from the other. So. But that's the nakuda. So you have to be, when you're basketing, precise. I mean, you're teaching precise, and people have to listen precisely. That's where we have the game Broken Telephone. And that can lead, so it's a cute game you're playing again amongst kids, but when it comes to halacha, or it comes to understanding of pshat, or it comes to medical advice also, it could be life and death. You know, so you have to be very, very careful of how you listen to a shir and the words of choice. Now, there's a reason. If you trace halacha, right, so you have a Gemara, the Rif usually uses the words of the Gemara exactly, just cuts away what he doesn't want. He'll add in things here and there for clarity, but basically he'll just cut and paste from the Gemara things he feels are halacha. Doesn't change the words, unless he has to, unless it's unclear. The Rush, similarly, also he'll explain more, but he also often just takes the Gemara and he puts it in there and they'll explain afterwards. The Rambam will also usually just use the lashon of the Rif or the Gemara, unless he feels he needs to be masbir. But the examples given typically are the examples of Shas. If the Rambam gives an example Shas didn't give, you have a kasha, and then it's the Kalim go wild on it. Why did he give a new example over here? Why did he use the example that the Gemara gave? Because you want to stick to the same lashon. The Shulchan Aruch. Let's go back to the Torah. But the Torah will usually quote for you the lashon he's taking from the Rambam or the Rif or the Rush, word for word, unless he has to explain something. He'll take that lashon, those examples, in those cases. And Vayitul Shulchan Aruch does the same thing. You find that even our halacha svarim are careful to use the words of the previous sefer, of the sefer's building off of, because there's a precision in the way things are worded, and it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "In Edius Chayev Adam Lemar Amblashin Rabbo." A person is supposed to say things in his rabbi's language. That's how you get that precision. It says that they would say that a Hillel would say you have to have a mlo hin lo yayin as pasul a mikvah, because that was the way that his Rebbe, as Rebbe Shmaya of Talion, said it. You know, so he said it over in the same way as them. Either everyone else spoke in Kavin, he spoke in the Lashon Hin, or could be that he said it a little differently because they were Gerim and they didn't have couldn't pronounce the hay properly, so they said like in instead of hin or something. Remember the shadows of the Hillel. He said it over precisely as his Rebbe taught him, because you want to pass on that Masorah clearly and get that Shir clear. It's a very important thing. You know, people often will ask, how come it's so common? We don't do it. But why is it so common that yeshiva is still learning Yiddish? Why is it so common? So there's a lot of answers to that question. But one answer is that the mahalach of learning that we have now was mostly developed in yeshivas in Europe that spoke Yiddish. I mean, when they spoke like, you know, Aramaic 1,000 years ago, that's a different mahalach than we use, you know. But the mahalach we use in yeshivas to learn is, you know, based on the mahalach that was used in yeshivas in Europe, Levashi yeshivas, and they spoke Yiddish at the time. So you're trying to get across an example or an idea of learning. When you go back to the language that was used to explain the ideas, you know, for centuries, there's a certain precision in that language which you can't replicate in English. Or even in Hebrew sometimes. You know, because the system of learning that we use was originally taught over in Yiddish. And so, the mice, a lot of yeshivas in America don't use Yiddish anymore, some do. If you don't use Yiddish, you throw Yiddish terms in, because those terms were kind of like the terms that were coined. I mean, again, lahavdil, it's like, you know, in the world of logic. So they use like Latin phrases to explain things in logic. In the world of medicine, they use Latin phrases to explain certain phenomena. Why? Because there's, again, those are the phrases that were used hundreds of years back, and those phrases have like some sort of meaning to them, which is hard to replicate in other languages. You know, it's just how it is. You could try. The languages are made based on that which they're meant to express. So it's a very big nekuda. So that's also part of a chavin shmuaso, is to keep that mesora. It means that you're not going to misunderstand the concept. It means that you're going to be able to apply it in a very precise way. So that's very important. Now I want to take it from the other side of it. Idach gisa. So if you're just a parrot, and all you could do is repeat the words exactly as you read them in the Gemara, you can't explain them. So then also, what have you gained? I always talk about guys in Shakavataria. So the idea is that if you memorize, let's say memorize Shas, you can recite from me word for word, Memasai Koran Shema Ba'arvin, all the way through the end of the Sefas Nida. You'd be an amazing computer, but do you understand it? Do you understand what you learned? So there's a Mila in not just saying the words that you were taught. If you just say over your Rebbe Shir, word for word, but you cannot answer a single question on it, you can't explain what he said, you just have very good memory. So it's useful, it's something, but that's also not a goal. Not the goal, because the goal is the Havana behind it. So you have to be able to look at the wording that was given to you, you know, in the Svarim or by your Rebbe, not just parrot it back, but know the kavanah behind it, understand what it's all about, apply it accordingly, know the ikar v'shoresh behind the words, and this is what will help you understand it. Also, it's from memory, by the way. You remember much better if you understand what's going on. So as much as we stress, use the lashon that you were taught, the answer is that lashon carries within its meaning. You have to know the meaning as well. You have to understand what's going on behind it. If you have a very good memory, but you cannot explain anything, so again, you're the boor stitch in a mabatipa, but you're not a marimas gaber. You know, you're not able to bring forth anything from what you learned. And that's also not it's a milah, but not the biggest milah. But you have gedolim, let's take example, like, you know, Chacham Avadja is atzal. Right? So Chacham Avadja could do both. He could tell you, if you look at his Shuvah Svarim, and they are breathtaking. And he could quote for you, word for word, from any sefer you could possibly imagine. Mamish verbatim. But it wasn't just he had a photographic memory, he claimed he didn't have one. And it wasn't just that he had a very good memory, he understood it. And how do you know that? Because he explains it, and he applies it, and he draws out yesodos from it. But he had the ability, but he would always quote things exactly, and he could do it. They say Rav Avadja was able to outdo the Bar Ilan database search, you know, in his own mind, because he understood, he knew the Svara much better than the computer could do. It's a phenomenal thing. I think the Golem Gadol could do that, but the Aram Gadol doesn't just memorize it, the Aram Gadol knows it. And he's able to understand and explain and apply. So Mechavish Shuaso isn't just the language, it's also the understanding. So just to chazer for a second. So Mechavish Shuaso, as Pirs Rav says, means, if your Rebbe says a stira in his own shir, do your best to miyashiv the stira, make him mechav in his own teachings. And it's the idea of being precise in listening and precise in teaching. And there's in using the lashon, the lashon that we use. We've all experienced it, by the way. Anybody who's picked up an art school translation, right? So you know that whatever you're reading is not exactly what the Gemara is trying to get across. You know that. It's close. It helps. But so for somebody who can't look at it in the original, so it's a step. But when you can look at the original and understand how much the words of Chazal carry within them, and when they put into English, you lose so much. The Gemara, the Chazal say that there was meant to be a tainus on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of Tevis. It's brought down Shulchan Aruch even. We only fast on the 10th. So what was the reason for the fast on the 8th of Tevis? So Chazal say that was the day of Targum Shivim. That was the famous Maisa brought down the Gemara Megillah when the Talmai HaMelech took 70 Chachamim and put them into separate rooms and forced them to translate the Chumash into Greek. And that was considered a tragedy that day. It says that day is kasha, like the Cheda Egil. It's considered a tragedy for Klal Yisrael. Even though a big nace happened, it was a tremendous nace, but it was a tragedy. It was a day worth a tainus for. So what's the pshat? Because Torah is now translated into Greek. That was the first translation. It's the very first art school, if you will. So why is that so bad? So on the one hand, you know, it's great. It's accessible now. So one reason it's bad is because now it's accessible to Goyim as well, who can then misinterpret it and corrupt it and twist it for their own. So that was one issue. But stop. The fact that something is translated in another language means that you've lost the whole beauty of Torah. There's a mashal given by Chazal. Let's say you have like a lion, and it's, I think the mashal was the lion is out in the wilderness and you're terrified of it. Then you put it in a cage in the zoo. So you're like, yeah, what's the big deal? It's a lion. It doesn't scare you anymore. So until Torah is translated, the people saw Torah as, wow, what is this thing? This is amazing. This is scary. The Jews have this incredible keli. And then they translate it to Greek, like, yeah, okay, we read it, it's nice, it's interesting, but like, what's the big deal? But for us, it's the same thing. When you have the original Lashon, and the original Lashon carries within it, you know, the Shivim Panim LaTorah, Paradise, Infinite Meeting, Chokhmah Ein Sof, that's the original Lashon. When you translate it, you're forced into one pshat. So you have, you know, you read a line of Gemara, and you have a Rashba, and a Ritva, and a Shemekabetzis, and a Ran, and a Rash, and a Rashi, and a Tosfos, and a Mordechai, and a Pnei Yeshua, and they all say different pshatim. You look at the art scroll, it's like, hey, what do you mean? It's pretty clear. That's what it means. Yeah, that's it. It says over here. What's all the argument about? And the answer is because you're looking at a translation that's forced to give you a pshat. But if you look at the original, you understand where the machlokas lies. Because you lost it all. So that's just the importance of the original language. The original language carries within it, and Badafka carries within its multiple meanings. Because that is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu locks in the Torah, Chachma Ein Sof. Okay, Shkoyach.